And many of you have asked me to do a character sketch. So I'm going to do a character sketch. And it's a little bit of an odd sketch because it wasn't someone that I had considered, but faith talked me into it. And it's hard for me to say no to two women in my lives, Susan and Faith. So we're going to do Jonah today. And it's going to be a little different than usual, so just bear with me as we travel this journey together. So now, without any further wait, enter Jonah. Oh, well, let's see. I've got a lot to do today. There's a crop in the field. I got to get some things worked out in the barn. What? What's that, Lord? Go where? Do what? I'm not going to go to Nineveh. Those disgusting, brutal people, they all deserve to die. I'm not going to go give them any word from you. I know how you are. I know very well what you intend to do, but they don't deserve it. They deserve the worst punishment. Matter of fact, God, if you want to go save them, you go right ahead. But don't count me in. I'm not going to be your little gushy love letter deliverer to Nineveh. Matter of fact, I'm out of here. Forget this. Let's see. I'll go as far as I possibly can go. Where can I go to get away from God? Let's see. Oh, there might be one place worse than Nineveh. God certainly wouldn't be there. Tarshish. I'm sure of it. Matter of fact, I'll get on a boat and I'll get out of here. And, oh, hey, there's a boat right now. Hey, all right. Tickets? Yes, here's my ticket. I'm going to Tarshish. But guys, I just need you to know one thing. I'm running from God. Would you still take me as your passenger? I can? Great. All right. Let me get on board here. And all right, I just kind of stow my gear over here. And let me check and make sure that the sea is calm, because, you know, I don't really like to be seasick. It looks pretty good today. I think I'll just go down here to the, yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll just go on down to the hold and get a little bit of sleep. I was out late last night. We were with some wonderful friends and we ate at this great place called Mia Margaritas. And I know I'll just get a little nap and, let's just get cozy here and they can take off and I won't give another thought about Nineveh. Ah, it reminds me of Susan. Susan's my little pet chihuahua. Oh, let's see. What? What? Can't you see I'm sleeping here? What do you mean there's a storm? Storms happen at sea all the time. You guys are the best. Just let me alone. I just want to sleep. Pray? Huh. What do you mean pray? I've done enough praying. I've prayed a lot, and look what it got me. It got me on this boat heading to Tarshish. What do you mean you drew lots? What do you mean it's my fault? My fault? Let me just come up there and take a look around at this and see what's going on. I just don't know. Oh, it's terrible out here. Oh, I better go up on top. Let's get up on top of this ship here. And whoo, it's a little wavy out here. Oh, look at those waves. Why didn't you get me up sooner? Look how bad it is out there. I can barely stand up. There's only one thing you all can do. You've got to throw me overboard. I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord God, who made heaven and earth and even the sea. And it's because of my disobedience that he's angry. I tell you, you've got to throw me in. If you don't throw me in, you'll never make it. You'll not have a single solitary chance. If you don't throw me in, I'll jump in. I'm going to go. I'm out of here. Let me go. I'm going to jump. Here we go. All right. Here goes. Ready? Go! Oh! am I? I'm inside a big fish. I think I'm in the stomach. Well, it could be worse. I could be in the intestines. You know what the outcome of that would be? Oh, the last thing I remember as I was sinking, and I thought I was going to die, and God somehow rescued me. God sent a big fish, and here I am. I'm inside this fish, and God, you saved me. I didn't deserve it. I prayed to you, and you heard my prayer, and you answered, and here I am. But now what? Lord, I'm sorry. I should have listened to you. I should have trusted you. I should have just obeyed you and went and did what you asked me to do. Forgive me. Please help me to love those Ninevites. Give me your strength. Lead me. What's that grumbling sound? Uh-oh. I hope we're near land. I think I'm going to experience reverse peristalsis. Oh, here I am. Okay. Oh, that was, hey, look at me. I'm white all over. Must have been that stomach acid. I don't know what that fish ate, but it wasn't very good. My hair, it's white. I got it. I know now what God is going to do. God, He's going to send me to the Ninevites, and I'm going to look like this, and I'm going to preach to them hellfire and brimstone, and they're going to get what they deserve. I'll go do that. Matter of fact, Lord, point the way to the city. There it is. Wow. That's a big city. It's going to take me 3 days just to get through that city. Well, might as well start now. Journey shouldn't take too long. I'll get there. Oh, I can't wait to give it to them. I just can't wait for them to get what they deserve. I hope God wipes all of them out. Nineveh, God says, repent or you will be destroyed. Nineveh, listen to what the Lord God says. You must seek Him or you will be wiped out. You know what? No later did I get those words out than they started repenting. They tore their clothes. They put on sackcloth. They sprinkled ashes over their body and they sat in the dust and they prayed for God's forgiveness. You see, God, this is what I told you. I knew you would do this. I knew that you were a loving God, slow to anger, compassionate. I knew that you would give them a second chance. I wish I were dead. I'd rather just, Lord, just take my life. I'm getting out of this city. I'm going to go east. You know, it's possible. Maybe they were faking it back there in Nineveh. Maybe they didn't really repent. Tell you what I'll do. I'll just go over here and set east of the city. And it's a little bit hot out here. I'm going to just kind of relax and watch and see. Maybe God will. Maybe He'll rain fire down from heaven. Let's just watch. Wow, is it ever hot? The sun is scorching me. I feel faint. Oh, now, wait a minute. Isn't that lovely? What? Out of nowhere, this plant popped up, and I've got shade, and I feel great. If I had an iced tea, it'd be perfect. Kind of like a big campfire. God, burn that city. Would you please just burn it? Well, nothing's happening. My sundial isn't working too good. I'm just going to stretch out here and take a nap. And I'll just sleep a little bit. Oh, what is that crunching sound? How can somebody sleep with all that noise down here? Oh, this big fat worm is eating my plant. It's withering as I'm talking. See that, Lord? What? Do I have a right to be angry? Yeah. I was just fine back home. I was just minding my own business. And then I had to come here. And then I've lost this shade. And I'm about ready to pass out. Kill me. Just take me. Just take me now. What's that? How many? 120,000 people live in Nineveh? 120,000 lost souls? I didn't think of that. Oh my, that great, great city of Nineveh. Exit our friend Jonah. Jonah was sent on a mission, and I think that the whole book of Jonah really is simply an exercise in God's compassion. Let me share with you just a few quick points about Jonah that I think we'll find true. Number one, God did not strike Jonah dead when Jonah decided to disobey God. Do you know that there are some people who believe that God is out to get them and that God will certainly send a lightning bolt and take them out if they go too far? Others believe that God doesn't love them. Many are running away from God today. But God is first and foremost a God of compassion. He had compassion on Jonah, but even more, he had compassion on the Ninevites, who were so brutal. They didn't just take prisoners when they fought wars. They took them and tortured them and then finally killed them and often even sacrificed their own infants in their worship rituals. Jonah had a reason not to like the Ninevites. Jonah had a reason not to go. The Assyrian people whom the Ninevites represent were Israel's worst enemy. That's why he put up the guff. Second, God could have wiped out the Ninevites for all of their evil, but he cared about them. He wanted to reach them. He wanted to teach them. The next thing is that God sends a fish when Jonah is dying. In the book of Jonah, you'll read where Jonah reflects on his time in the water, and he puts it pretty much this way. I was sinking. I was sinking down to the depths of where the mountains were born, and the seaweed wrapped around my neck, and I basically was giving up the ghost. And then along came a big fish. Bible doesn't say whale. Bible says a big fish. Could you imagine the size of that? Now, maybe it was a whale and Jonah didn't know. But whatever it was large, and it rescued him. Saved his life. Next, after Jonah disobeys again, God gives him shelter. But you might say, well, where's the compassion in that? Because then God sent a worm. Well, get this. God used that lesson of the worm in the shade to teach Jonah about compassion. That was his method. Let me say this to you. Sometimes God has to take things away so that we can see him more clearly. That might be people, could be positions, could be power, health, materialism. God will sometimes remove something so that we can see God more clearly. Sadly, Jonah was more concerned about a plant than a person, right? He was more upset about that dead plant than he was about all of those living souls that were doomed. It didn't know God. Matter of fact, God in the conversation when he was telling Jonah about the many souls, God brings up the cattle for good measure. Oh, by the way, there's not just people, there's a bunch of cattle there. So God cares about the whole shooting match. But Jonah, he couldn't care less. I wonder if he would have changed his mind if his grandkids were living there, or his children, or his parents, or a friend. Often I think it's too easy for us to judge others when we don't have a relationship with others. But get to know somebody, and maybe our judgment will soften a little bit. Maybe our mercy will be more evident. I think it's important to build bridges instead of remaining aloof and just pronouncing judgment. By the way, God is the judge and jury, right? Jonah wanted to be the judge and jury. He would have been just happy convicting and condemning every single soul in Nineveh. But God gets the last word. And God is the one that can give us the right judgment, because He'll judge in mercy, in fairness, with accountability. There'll be a day of reckoning. Matter of fact, God, when He thinks of souls, He doesn't want anybody to be lost. I really believe that. I think God gives every opportunity. That's why missionaries are so important in missions and mission work and supportive missions, because there are so many who perhaps haven't heard from the Word of God. And God will even judge that in God's way. But God is relenting and waiting. At the same time, God gives us free will. And He won't force us to accept Him. He'll allow us to say yes. And He'll lament those who refuse. But God is a God, first and foremost, of compassion. Jonah, he held a grudge. He wanted revenge. God has the right of vengeance and nobody else. No matter how bad the hurt, the pain, the problem, I have found it best to let God take care of the situation. You know what else is interesting? Life is so short, isn't it? I can't believe that we've been here 10 years. It seems like yesterday we were pulling in. Faith was just 8 years old and barely taller than my kneecaps. And we were both in our 40s when we arrived. Now we're in our 50s. Time just flies. Matter of fact, today I begin my 28th year in pastoral ministry, which is something I would have never dreamed of. Jesus mentions the flowers, how they're here today and gone tomorrow, and that's so true. But He also says that we're so much more important to Him than those flowers, even though they're beautiful. I have always tried to interject a little bit of compassion into my sermons and into time with others. It's something that I feel strong about, probably because I needed God's compassion, and I've experienced God's compassion, and it's made a profound difference in my life. At the same time, I realize there are many ways that I failed as a pastor. I think you kind of learn as you go, almost in anything that you do. You all have been very gracious to me. You've allowed me to make mistakes. You've laughed at most of them. You haven't gotten too upset. I know that there were times I've let you down. I couldn't get to everybody, couldn't get to every need. Part of that is my own doing. I tended to probably put the building issues ahead of people issues at times, and that's something I shouldn't have done. Looking back, thinking about that, that was kind of the way I was trying to handle the facility problems. And there have been a lot of them, hasn't there? And there have been times that I've gotten frustrated with people who left and didn't go after them in ways that I should have, and I ask your forgiveness for that. I guess there's no perfect pastor. There's no perfect church. I get that. You all are awfully close. I know that there were times that perhaps you've let me down. And if you felt any guilt in that, I certainly offer forgiveness today. And I pray that you will do me a big favor. Give Mark a chance. You know, he's sitting in his church today giving a message, and he also didn't ask to leave. He's saying goodbye the same way that I am, with the people that he's gotten close to, and it's going to be hard in his transition. So remember that as he comes in, and give him a chance. I will say to you that probably the best test of my leadership won't be while I'm present, but long after I go. If you love him and love each other, then I've done my job. If you haven't, then I didn't do my job. And I hope that you will surround Mark and his family. He's bringing three kids, two who are adults already and in college, one who's a sophomore in high school, and they're going to need your support. They will require your prayers very much. So surround them in prayer. Love them and love each other. When somebody's missing from church, go find out why. Don't wait to ask the pastor. When somebody is sick and in the hospital, it's a nice thing that you come and ask the pastor how so-and-so is doing, but I would encourage you to go first and bring a report back to pastor. Hey, I saw so-and-so. And here's how they're doing. When somebody is hurting, go find them and don't go with the finger of judgment telling them what they should feel and what they should think and what they should do. Just listen. Just listen. By the way, I think Mark is a very good listener. He's a very compassionate man. He's also a cut-up, which means he'll fit in great at Duff Street. He likes a good joke. And that's good, isn't it? We've laughed a lot together, haven't we? Sometimes we've laughed at each other. We've laughed a tremendous amount, enjoyed the time together. I believe, though, that, matter of fact, remember that first sermon I ever preached, those of you who were here back then, the first sermon I think I ever preached was the puzzle, and I gave everybody a piece of the puzzle, and I asked you to guess what the picture was, and nobody could do it. Now, I repeated that sermon a few years later here, and Alex Hoskinson guessed what the picture was before anybody else knew. But that first Sunday, it was a very different scene of nature, and nobody could get it. And I remember saying, here's how much we know. This little piece of the picture. But God sees the entire picture all the time, every day. God is never surprised by anything that we do or anything that happens on planet Earth. God sees the whole picture in front of him. That's the way God works. And God knew that it was my time and Susan's time to go, as hard as that is. And God knew that it was Mark's time to come, as hard as that is for Mark. And I think that it's the right time for what needs to happen next, which is a new facility right across the alley. It'll probably take a year, two or three. I believe this from the beginning, that Duff Street needs a facility to do ministry, not to build a castle. And we need this space right here back. We need it to be teeming with kids again, like we used to. This neighborhood needs us now more than ever. It needs somebody that can bridge that gap with the neighborhood in ways that I could not or would not. And I think the time is right. But I'll say this. If you'll have me back, and Mark agrees, I'll come preach the first sermon in that new building. But you let me know, okay? In the meantime, it's not goodbye. It's see you later. We'll be back. We can't come visit the church for a year. We can't come back and do funerals. Can't do weddings. It's not fair to the new pastor, and it's not fair to the new church I'm going to. But after that year is over, we're going to be able to come and go, and we'll show up out of the blue a time or two, or maybe 10 or 15. You can always call us in Elkins. You can stop by and see us. We live right across from Hardee's. Isn't that great? So if I'm not at Hardee's, I'll be at home. If not at home, I'll be at Hardee's. You don't have to call, but you're welcome to. If you want to stay the night, we'll put you up for an evening or several. Friendship lasts forever in Christ. And if your heart is as mine, if you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then we will see each other again. The Bible says that everybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Paul said in Romans, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you are saved. And I've tried to preach that on a regular basis. Because you never know if there's just one person that hasn't said yes to Christ. But until the next time, God be with you. I love you. Susan loves you. Thanks for being so good to Susan and Faith and Jim and myself over these years. What we would like to do is we would like to serve you communion individually, just Susan and I together. And I know that might take a while today, but if you could hang around for a bit, I would love to join Susan and to serve you. Are you also going to sing? Men's group, do you want to sing before communion or after? During. Okay, that's great.